This morning we have Tony and Carrie Ballard with us, and I've known them for a long time, and we've done a lot of ministry together, and I'm excited about what they're doing in Zambia and in the continent of Africa, and so I'm going to invite them to come and share with you. So will you give them a hand as they come this morning? Yeah, you can use that. Okay.
I'm more comfortable up here.
That's fine. You can do whatever you want.
Okay. Sorry, I like to hide behind a pulpit, if that's okay. Well, I feel better behind the pulpit. Thank you. Good morning, Viola, Solid Rock. It's so good to be here with you today. Thank you, Pastor Joe and Chelsea, for this opportunity, for inviting us and allowing us to come share our hearts for Africa and Zambia. And thank you for your partnership and how you partner with us in Zambia and across the whole continent of Africa. And as I was driving here yesterday, because I was coming from Springfield, I was driving through West Plains, and I was like, we should have told Bobby and Dawn that we were going to be in Viola. And then this morning, Tony was like, I already told him, he's coming. And I was like, yes. So thank you, Bobby, for driving here and supporting us. He's a great friend of ATE and all of us missionaries, and we love Bobby and Dawn, so thank you so much. I feel like so much has happened since we were here last time. It's probably been about 4 years. So I want to just give a quick update and then share a little testimony of what God has done in my life during our last term while we were in Zambia. As of May this year, Tony was, let me find my place. As of May this year, Tony is serving as director of ATE, Africa Tabernacle Evangelism. Since its start in 1991, over 4,100 tabernacles have been built across Africa. Each tabernacle is more than just a building. It is a tool for evangelism and discipleship. When a permanent church goes up, the congregation almost always grows because the community sees the church as here to stay. With this opportunity comes more responsibilities with travel and partnering with other national churches outside of Zambia across the continent. For instance, over our last term, Cole and Tony traveled to Ethiopia to build a tab shop. And then they spent a few days in country to teach local people how to build tabernacles. And now Tony might give an update, I'm not sure, but so many tabernacles have been built in Ethiopia. So we love how it's opened the door for us to partner in other countries as well. We've also been asked to serve as the team leaders in Zambia. This is a role where we come alongside other missionaries in Zambia by leading them in decisions and making sure that we stay within our country's strategic plan. We also just completed our 3-year term in Zambia, where we had the privilege to partner with a growing national church. The church just turned 43 years old and has a goal to plant 5,000 churches by the time they turn 50. That is great, audacious faith. They are a growing movement that is passionate about reaching their communities with the gospel. Our role has been to come alongside them, encouraging, equipping, and resourcing the pastors and leaders as they plant new churches. One of the most exciting parts of this work is that we get to build tabernacles as they plant churches. These simple but powerful structures give congregations a permanent presence in their communities. During our last term, with God's help, we were able to build 41 tabernacles across the country of Zambia, each one representing a lighthouse for the gospel. And while Tony focused heavily on building, and I did travel with him to build all these tabernacles, but I'm not the roof girl. I'm on the ground. But people did start asking me a question that kind of made me feel a bit uncomfortable. They would ask me, what do you do? And at first I struggled. How do I answer that question? Because I honestly don't know how to run a drill. You know, Tony is the person that builds things. And I don't feel like I'm called to preach. Like, this is not my most comfortable spot in the church, you know? And for a while, it made me feel like I wasn't enough. But as I took time to pray and process, I came to recognize something so important. God didn't take me to Zambia to fit a certain mold, but to be uniquely myself, who he created me to be. Then one day, I was talking with a friend, And I was telling her where I was finding myself in this journey. And she asked me a question that changed everything for me. She said, Carrie, who are you becoming? And that simple question shifted my focus. Instead of measuring my value by what I do, I started to ask how God was shaping me and how I could become more like him in every relationship, every conversation, and in every single moment. And as I leaned into the question, I felt God shape my ministry around three simple but powerful tools: to be available, to be intentional, and to be missional. Available, it's simply being present, listening and walking alongside people in their daily lives. Intentional, investing in friendships that point people closer to Christ. And missional, always remembering that our purpose is not just relationship, but relationship that leads towards Jesus. It wasn't about programs or platforms for me. It was about showing up with open hands and an open heart. And through those three avenues, God opened my eyes to something so beautiful in Zambia, and that is the women. I fell in love with them. They welcomed me into their lives with open arms. They allowed me to attempt to carry things on my head. I got to cook with them. That's what I would do when we would go to Tab Builds. I would be in their kitchens cooking with them. They would teach me how to chop their vegetables without cutting boards and the dullest knives ever. I got to ride the taxi bus with them, and we would sing the whole entire time we were on the taxi buses. It was beautiful. I got to sing in their choirs and dance with them, even though I cannot dance a bit. And I went to women's meetings, and I would dress like them. Sometimes I would just show up, and they would have a dress for me, ready for me to put on and wear. And I got to rejoice with my friend Gladys over the birth of her third child, Luyando Carey, which means love Carey. And this past August, we got to be the guest of honor at Redson wedding. And Redson works for our MFF. And it's always an honor when an African person asks you to be their guest of honor. And that actually happened twice while we were in Zambia. But it was a great honor to be at Redson's wedding. And then I walked through a couple of hard things. I was by my friend Sai Chipo as she had to bury her three-year-old daughter from a sudden sickness. And her name was Malaika, which means angel. And I truly believe that she was an angel. I journeyed with friends as we navigated the drought that so badly affected Zambia with power outages. But through it all, every situation and every circumstance, we prayed, we praised, and trusted God together. In their culture, women are often unseen and undervalued. They carry the weight of the household, raising children, cooking from scratch, cleaning, gathering water at the well, hand washing laundry and hanging it up to dry, working tirelessly day after day. Yet, in the midst of it all, their strength, their grace, and their joy shines through. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." And that is where I found myself. Like Paul, God allowed me to form deep personal relationships with these women. Relationships where I could speak life, offer encouragement, and remind them of their incredible value in God's eyes. And in turn, they poured into me with their resilience, their laughter, their worship, and their faith. I went to Zambia loving Jesus, ready and willing to work, to do anything, but not knowing exactly what that would look like. And in this term, the Lord taught me who I was becoming. He showed me someone who sees, someone who values, and someone who is willing to just be present and watch God work through love. So my question to you is, who are you becoming? Are you moldable? Are you teachable and willing to step outside of your comfort zone? Is he calling you to pray more, to give more, or step outside your circle to love someone new? Maybe he's calling you to a life of missions across cultures, to give of your time, your talent, and your treasure, to love people and point them to a Savior that loves them even more. Jesus is calling us to himself. He is speaking, if only we will listen. Every one of us has a place in his kingdom to be salt and light. And the best news is his table is big, and there's always room for one more. So go reach the one. We're humbled and we're honored to be a small part of what God is doing in Zambia and across the continent, and look forward to the partnership of other missionaries in Africa as we get to partner with national churches to see this vision fulfilled, a healthy church within walking distance of every African.
Amen. Wow, she's so good at that. I'm blessed every time I hear her talk about how the Lord was able to really move in her life in Zambia. And I got a front row seat of seeing how she developed those relationships with those lovely women of Zambia, as well as just anyone that would have the willingness to get to know us and to invite us into their homes and give us an opportunity to love them and do what the Lord has called us to do. So we just appreciate so much the opportunity, as she said, to be here in Viola today with our good friends, your pastors, and as well as you guys that have blessed us so much. This morning, I'm not going to tell a whole bunch of stories, but at the end of the message, I do plan to update you a little bit about some of the specific things that you've done as a church to help us in Zambia, as well as with Africa Tabernacle Evangelism. But this morning, I think Carrie did a fantastic job of giving a quick update of kind of what was going on over the last 3 years. And I want to talk to us this morning a little bit about how we can all be involved in missions, and talk about a certain passage of scripture that deals with the way that we can begin to just see things different in a missional perspective when it comes to stewardship and generosity, and this tension between how can we be effective stewards of the things that God has entrusted into our care, but also keep a heart that's open towards generosity. And it feels like the two different sides of a scale. You can either be a really good steward and take good care of stuff, manage stuff well, grow things, or you have people that are on the other side of the spectrum that are super generous, like they just live with an open hand, but they don't manage anything well. They're just almost frivolously generous. It's easy come, easy go. And so they never really have anything left to manage well. So that side of the spectrum. So that middle post that holds up the two sides of the scales would be obedience. So in order to live in this incredible tension that is effective stewardship and radical generosity, the way that we can manage both is to have an ear to hear what the Lord would say and be immediately obedient to his instructions. Amen? Now, as a missionary, we feel compelled a lot of times to speak specifically about a missional message, and we could easily preach out of Romans 10 and talk about why we do what we do. The reason that we do what we do is because we believe that that's the way that people get saved, is that they would hear the message of the gospel, that something would click on the inside of them, and all of a sudden they become a believer, and they understand the importance of believing what God says about Jesus, and not only believing it, but confessing it with our mouth, not being ashamed of him, but and having that obedience that produces a faith within us to understand that God really is who he says he is, and he really does have a plan for our lives. And then as we come into that relationship with Jesus, then we feel compelled to do the same things that he does, which is to seek and save the lost. So we can preach in that vein, and it's an easy thing to do. And the last time I was here, I know that I did preach on why missions, and we did talk a lot about the Roman road and why it's important for us to be involved in missions. And ultimately, my main reason is because when you walk down through that Roman discourse and Paul is explaining it and saying that you have to believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead. You walk all the way through it, and the best scripture of all in the whole thing is Romans 10:13 that says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is one of my favorites in all the Bible. But then Paul and his manner sets us up for celebration, only to sucker punch us with the next four questions and say, how in the world are they supposed to call on somebody in whom they haven't believed? And how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone preaches? And how can they preach unless they be sent? And it's just bam, bam, bam. He's slugging us away with, how are you going to get involved? Are you going to do something about the fact that everyone has to call on the name of Jesus in order to be saved? But how in the world are they supposed to call on somebody that they've never even heard of? So that's why we do missions. Amen? That's why we go. We have this compulsion within that the Lord has said, you're saved. Now go and tell the good news. We sang about it this morning. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach the good news. What is this good news? All of us are sinners. We've fallen short of God's glorious standard. We have no hope of gaining access into his holy heaven on our own ability and on our own goodness or our nature or the good deeds that we do. But the good news is that he's already paid the price for us so that we can gain access, because this precious blood of Jesus has already been shed, and we can fall up underneath that and claim him as our Lord and let him claim us as his child, and we can enter into God's presence. Amen? So why in the world would we be talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 9? It's a whole different subject, isn't it? This stewardship and this generosity. There's this incredible scripture that Paul, again, is writing back to the church in Corinthians, specifically Achaia, that has already made a promise to Paul that they're going to do something about the suffering believers in Jerusalem and Judea. And Paul is on a missionary journey. Paul's kind of doing the same thing that we're doing, where you go around and you do these works, but Paul's doing an awesome thing. He's planting these churches in all these different places, and he's writing back and giving instructions for the churches that he's planting. And if you go into 1 Corinthians, you see that the church in Achaia had already made a vow to do something. When Paul comes through, when he's making his rounds, they're going to be preparing an offering to help their brothers and sisters in Judea that are suffering and even starving because of their situation at the moment. So they've already made a promise that they're going to do something to help. And so Paul, writing in the second letter, addressing a lot of different things, begins to talk to them in chapter 8 and telling them that he's now currently with the Macedonians. And he's been telling the story of what they've done and what they promised to do. And the Macedonians were so inspired by what the people from Achaia had said they were going to do. Are you hearing me? They've said that they were going to collect an offering to help those that are suffering in Jerusalem, right? And because of the story, because of their promise, Paul's believed that promise. And as he's going around to all these churches doing his missionary work, he's also collecting something for the suffering saints back in Jerusalem. And he's telling the story of what the people from the church in Achaia have promised to do. And it says in chapter 8 that the Macedonians were so inspired by what you said you were going to do that they already did it. And I think that's awesome that Paul's just telling the story, and the church in Macedonia was so inspired by the stories that Paul was telling that they decided to join in, and they've already given money. And Paul says that about the Macedonians, they gave beyond what they were really capable of giving. In their poverty, they gave more than they should have been able to give. And he gives credit to their account and says it's because they first gave themselves to the Lord. Then they gave themselves to us, and then they gave an offering based on how they had completely given themselves to the Lord. So it's just this incredible passage of scripture. You can read it for your own self in chapter 8 especially, and all of chapter 9. But for us today, I want to take a really good deep dive into chapter 9. We're going to begin in verse 6 for our discussions this morning. I just had to give you a little bit of context so you wouldn't think I was loopy. But Carrie hit one of my favorite slogans, or statements, I should say. It's not really a slogan, when she was in the middle of her testimony, telling us that each one of us has a place in God's kingdom, and that we all have a certain bit of things that we've been trusted with, and it's time, talent, and treasure, all the things that we can either manage well or mismanage, kind of fall into those categories. You can think about all the different giftedness, the passions, the desires, the things that you get excited about. They fall underneath some type of talent or something that you've been given for the Lord to be able to use. Of course, you can make a living doing it as well, and there's nothing wrong with that. But also, it's something that you can give back to the Lord in service, your talent, your time. We can either manage our time well or we can mismanage our time, right? That's stewardship. We can also give our time as a gift. That's generosity. And if we'll manage our time well, then we'll listen carefully for the Lord and get a chance to obey, then we can give generously when it's appropriate. And that still falls underneath that management area of stewardship. Amen? And if, of course, our treasure. Treasure, we like to associate that with finances. Of course, when you're doing projects and things, they cost money, and we do want churches to partner with us and stuff like that. And we know that when you guys give tithes and offerings, when you give into missions offerings, when you do all those kind of things, that's basically the treasure that you've been entrusted with. You can't give more than you have. That's called writing a hot check. You know, if anybody even writes checks these days, but most people don't write checks anymore. You just do a transfer, which is probably better because at least you have to have it in order to do the transfer, right? But you can't give beyond what you have the capacity to give. But you have a certain amount of treasure that you've been trusted with. It may not even actually be your finances. It may just be something that's super special to you. And it would be kind of that one thing that you really wouldn't want to give if the Lord was to look deep. And you might have something that you're hiding a little bit, you know, like you got this treasure that you really want to hang on to. And you don't want to even trust the Lord with it because he might say he wants you to give it. And you don't even want to hear him say that. So you just don't even think about it or talk about it. But that's your time, your talent, and your treasure. That's what Carrie reminded us of, that those are the things that it's all we have. We have a certain amount of time, we have a certain amount of talent, and we have certain things that we treasure that are important and special to us, and we can trust God with all of those things. Amen? How about if we get into this scripture and read it together? Pastor Joe offered me this stand, but I'm just going to leave this stuff right here. I want us to basically read 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 6. We'll go all the way through the end of the chapter, but I'm going to split it. I want to just do 6 through 11 right now. Then I'm going to give you a few points and ponder together on what the Lord will be speaking to us and how we can offer ourselves more holy to the Lord this morning. And then at the end of the message, I'll read the rest of it, which is verse 12 through 15. Is everybody okay? I'm reading out of the New Living. My friend in the back put it up on the script on the board for us this morning so you guys can read along as well. Beginning in verse 6, it says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Verse 7 says, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now let's stop before we read verse 8 and remind ourselves that Paul is writing specifically to a church in Achaia. We've talked about why. They've made a promise to help raise an offering to help those that are struggling in Jerusalem and even starving. So he's giving them, basically telling them, I'm coming. And some of the brothers from Macedonia are coming with me, and I'm going to be collecting the offering that you said last year that you were going to have ready. So I just want to make sure you're ready. There's some funny scripture ahead of this, what we're reading right now, and it says, I hope that you're really ready, because, man, how embarrassing would it be for me and for these brothers from Macedonia to come and find out that you weren't ready, much less you. How embarrassing would it be and how ashamed would you be if I've been going all over the planet telling everybody what you're going to do, and then we show up to collect and you haven't done it, right? That would be weird and embarrassing for all of us, right? So he's kind of giving them this warning. Hey, you told me a year ago you were going to do this, and now I'm coming to collect, so I'm just giving you a heads up that I'm on the way. That's the way that I would say it, you know, but I don't speak like they write in the Bible usually. So that's where we're at. He's telling them, hey, man, give what you've already decided. I'm not trying to put you under some type of compulsion and make you give something, but I want you to give what you've decided in your heart is right before the Lord, because God does love a cheerful giver. Verse 8 says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." That's a powerful scripture, isn't it? That if I will just do what's right before the Lord and give what I'm able to give, not under compulsion, but cheerfully, that God is able to do all these other things. He, the one who gives seed to the sower, right, is able. As it is written, verse 9 says, they freely scatter their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. And verse 10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's partnership with God. It's pretty incredible what Paul is writing to the church in Achaia right here and how we can take it and apply it. Now, we know we've already spoken well that there's a specific thing that he's talking about, and it's that offering that they have made a promise to do. But I want us for today especially to think about the three T's, the time, the talent, and the treasure. Those are just the things that we have within our possession. And it's the things that, like I said, we're talking about stewardship, obedience, and generosity this morning when it comes to the kingdom of God and our own participation. So more than just about being an offering that you want to do something with your finances to bless the kingdom of God, and that's always fine and it's good, but talking about giving our whole selves to God, to place ourselves within his kingdom, to do something to make a difference wherever he says is appropriate, is talking about how we manage our time, how we manage our talent, how we manage our treasure. So this scripture this morning that we're speaking about and reading together in Corinthians is supposed to kind of rally us to a new way of thinking about more than just finance, but about offering to God the things that we have within our possession to offer him. Is that fair enough for us to ponder for the next few minutes this morning? Everybody feel good? You all right? It's much better to be in here than out on the parking lot, isn't it? It is a cold day. You deserve a special round of applause for even coming this morning. You could have come outside, stepped out your front door, went to go. Church is still going to be there next week. You know, and it's cold today, and I don't know if my truck's even going to start. But anyway, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're a part of this church family, and I'm glad that you've chosen us to partner with, and you've done highly effective things, and we tell your stories. And just like these people in Achaia, because we've told your stories as we travel around, other people are inspired like the Macedonians. And you've spurred other people on to do good works because of your own good works. So I'm not approaching this text this morning like I'm warning you that, hey, I'm coming and you said you were going to do this and I'm coming. So I'm just giving you warning that you better be ready because it'd be embarrassing if you wasn't. Not that at all. But it does apply to you because you've participated with us with those awesome first fruits offerings. Amen? You helped us build our tab shop in Zambia. So every one of those 41 tabernacles that Carrie talked about, you got a part in it more than anyone else. Not because you necessarily gave more money than anybody else, but because you're with us from the very beginning and you enabled us to even do the thing that we're doing. Because you partner with us on a monthly basis and help us to stay on the field doing the job that we do, every single time you send in that reoccurring gift, it is enabling the work that God has called us to go on. And I don't know exactly how it's all divvied out throughout eternity, but what I do know is that you can't outgive God. And what I do know is that when you obey God, he opens up a storehouse of blessings, and we just read it. He said, hey, I'm not trying to twist your arm to get you to give something here. This is what I'm telling you, that if you'll just give what you've made up in your heart to give and give that to the Lord, and he loves that cheerful gift that you've given, then he's going to do all these things. And he has the word all back to back to back and followed by every. That's pretty awesome to me. If I can just pray and say, Lord, what should I do with my time, my talent, and my treasure, and cheerfully offer that to the Lord, after following his instruction, then it's his job to do the alls and the everys. And the alls and the everys are awesome. Amen? Did you hear them when we read them? Maybe we should read it again. I feel like I'm the most excited. This is what it says in verse 7. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's the most quoted scripture out of the whole Bible when it comes to receiving an offering, right? But the context is important. And this is what it says for verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times having that you need, you will abound in every good work. All things, all times, every good work. That's God's part. Our part is to figure out what it is that he's asking us to do and do it cheerfully. And then he unlocks all the alls and the everys. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Let's get on to the scripture this morning. Number one, not the scripture, but the points. Let's talk about stewardship. Point number one is stewardship. But say stewardship requires faithful management. You can find this talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 20 through 21, and specifically in chapter 9, verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So stewardship is not about having a lot, but stewardship is about managing what you have faithfully and wisely according to God's purposes. All right? That's our definition this morning of stewardship. It's not about having a lot. It's about managing whatever it is that you do have effectively according to God's purpose and not our own. All right? That's a fair enough biblical definition of stewardship when it comes to the thing that God has trusted us with. We're the manager, not the owner. Right? So in chapter number 8, verse 20 through 21, Paul emphasizes the importance of integrity and transparency and even handling of money, which is an essential part of biblical stewardship. Stewardship involves the fun stuff like budgeting and planning and, most importantly, seeking the Lord's direction about what to do with the resources that he's entrusted to us. You mean I'm supposed to seek God about what time I'm supposed to get up in the morning? You say I'm supposed to be managing my time well, right? So I'm supposed to find out what time the Lord wants me to wake up in the morning so that I can do things well. Maybe no one's ever prayed about when they should get up in the morning. But if the Lord wakes you up, you ought to go on and get up. Amen? Our human nature is not to just jump right out of bed ready to tackle the things that God's got on our agenda for the day. Our human nature is to hit the snooze button. Right? I'm not saying you're a sinner if you hit the snooze. I'm just saying that you can recognize your own nature versus the nature of the Lord trying to rouse you to do something by just tapping that snooze too many times. Amen? Some people need warning to get up like an hour ahead, so they snooze every 5 minutes for 20 snoozes. Right? And then they're ready to get up. I would rather just get up. But anyway, that's just me. I understand that it's not you, it's me. So you got a different thing. But our time, stewarding our time well, stewarding our talents well. So reflection on that is, are you managing God's resources in a way that reflects trust, prayer, and integrity? So we didn't talk about that integrity thing in chapter 8, but it was Macedonians coming along with Paul so that nobody could accuse him of doing the wrong thing with this big bag of money he was collecting for these saints that were suffering in Jerusalem. He was going to multiple stops along the way, and they were giving him money to bless this congregation that was struggling in Jerusalem. So for integrity purposes, he had people going with him so that nobody could falsely accuse him of mismanaging the money. So that's just the integrity. That all falls under stewardship. Let's talk about, we talked a lot about time. Let's talk about talent. This morning, I was blessed to be in this room with some talented people that were singing worship to the Lord. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but I was blessed to be able to follow along by reading the words on the screen. Right? But if I was back in the box, y'all would just be having to figure it out on your own because I don't know how to run that stuff. That's not my gift. That's not my talent. But thank God it's someone's. And thank God it's someone's talent that's willing to offer it as a gift to the Lord. Amen? Because the thing is because they were willing to hone that skill and get good at it, because they were able to follow the rhythm with the drums this morning because somebody cared enough to invest in themselves and take that desire to learn to play the drums or the keyboard or to sing in a microphone, and they decided to grow that gift and manage it well, the stewardship side, so that they could be confident enough to share it in public, we were all blessed. right? And it resulted, what the Bible says there in verse 11 is that this service that you're doing is resulting in many thanks to God. So this morning, as a drummer and as a keyboard player and a singer and a guy in the booth running the stuff on the sound, all took their gifts, their talents that they had grown themselves and gotten good at through stewardship and discipline and management of the thing that God has put on the inside of them, decided to grow it so that they could confidently bring it out for public display, and then all of us got to enjoy it. And it resulted in this: thanks be to God, for you truly are holy. Thanks be to God, for you truly did turn my life around. You really did give me a new name. You really did change my heart. All of us together singing praises to the Most High God because a few people decided to be serious about the talent that God had given them, steward it well, and then give it as a generous gift out of obedience to God. Amen? I dare say that nobody gets on the stage, or very rarely, for their own accolades. Most of the time, when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you resist. And the last thing you want to do is for people to accuse you of trying to be showing off a gift or a talent that you have, right? What we really have to do is, as we grow that thing and it grows within us, we have this desire to want to give it back to the Lord. And we didn't have any idea that that act of obedience was going to result in other people being blessed and other people giving thanks to the Lord. But that's the scripture that we're reading this morning. Amen? Stewardship. It's incredible. It's an incredible thing that the Lord's doing in us this morning. So let me give you a challenge. You got to start with this posture, asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do with what I already have? Stewardship begins with obedience to his instructions, not our preferences. So if you're going to do well in the area of stewardship, you got to be willing to ask God that. Not, Lord, if you'd give me some more, I'd be able to do more. Right? Of course, that makes sense. But maybe if you'll do what you're supposed to do with what you already have, then you'll unlock the keys of the kingdom of him given more. Amen? Thank you, Lord. God, be able to trust me with what I already have. What is it, Lord, that you would have me to do with what you've already given me? The amount of time I already have, the amount of talent that I already have, what am I doing with it? And Lord, am I pleasing you with it? The amount of resources that you've trusted to my care, am I managing it well? Or am I not? Help me, Holy Spirit. Amen? That's stewardship. Let's move on to point number two, generosity. Generosity requires a faithful obedience. Verse 7 of chapter 9 says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So the Macedonians, Paul had said, they have given beyond their ability because they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. And their generosity was an act of obedient worship, not financial calculation. So that's pretty incredible stuff. Paul emphasizes that God loves a cheerful giver, not because of the amount, but because of the heart posture. He didn't say anything about the amount. He said, you should give what you've already decided in your heart to give, and that's the posture. Not saying that your heart should overpower your mind and you should write a check that's not good and the bank's going to have a problem with it. All right, that's not what you're hearing me say this morning, so make sure that you're not thinking something that I'm not saying or misunderstanding me. I'm not saying you give beyond what you have the capacity to give. I'm saying that it's not always a financial calculation that gets birthed in the mind, but there's a connection on the heart level with what God is trying to get you to do, and you make a decision that that's what you're supposed to do, and then you do it cheerfully. Amen? That's generosity. We've talked about the people's talent and their generous gift already of giving themselves and their abilities and their talents to the Lord so that it could produce within us a thanksgiving. But it also goes into your finances as well. Paul emphasizes that God does love that cheerful giver. And this is my favorite line. If you're taking notes, you should write it down, because God says that we should give what we've decided in our heart to give, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is the way that my mind reads that. God doesn't twist arms. He stirs hearts. Amen. God isn't wanting to put your arm behind your back and twist it until you tap out and say, okay, God, I'll write a bigger check. right? God isn't wanting to twist your arm behind your back and pin you on the ground until you tap out and say, okay, God, I know that I have a talent in that way, but I'm scared to put it on public display. But he's wanting you to make a heart decision that you can literally trust this God that we say that we serve, and we can give our time, our talent, and our treasure for his kingdom purposes. Amen? God doesn't twist arms, he stirs hearts. Expect for your heart to be stirred by the Holy Spirit and respond to that with thanksgiving. Don't wait for him to put you in an arm hold or an arm bar, amen? Generosity flows from a life of trusting God more than we trust our own resources. It's not about losing what we have, it's about sowing what God gave. So there's this tension that we're in now. Living in the tension. If stewardship is holding resources wisely, then generosity is letting go faithfully. That's that scale thing, isn't it? Stewardship is holding resources wisely, causing them to grow. Generosity is sowing them, letting go of them faithfully. And this tension is not a conflict. It's a balance that obedience helps us to walk. So the challenge is this. What is the Lord asking you to release today? Obedience means trusting that what you sow, God will grow. Not just about money. Remember, we're talking about time, talent, and treasure. Generosity. Number three is obedience. Obedience produces overflow in every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 11 talks about this. He who supplies seed will increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest. When we obey, we unlock God's promise of divine increase, not for personal gain, but so that we can participate in every good work. God is not looking for donors. He already owns everything, doesn't he? His problem is that he trusts us with it, and he sometimes can't get it back when he needs it, when he wants to use it. And he doesn't want to use it just because he's broke and he needs to borrow yours. He wants to do these things. He wants us to sow faithfully so that he can help us to be generous and participate in every good work. He's looking for partners in kingdom work. When we steward wisely and give generously in obedience, God ensures that we don't run dry. That's his part. In fact, he multiplies our capacity so that we can do more, we can give more, and we can bless more. So the principle is this: God gives seed to the sower, not the hoarder, not the fearful, and not the one waiting until they get more before they can get involved. If you're willing to sow, he's going to be willing to keep on supplying. The challenge is this: are you living with a hopeful expectation that God will multiply your obedience, not just to bless you, but to use you for his glory? Man, I love this scripture. I love where we're headed. And we're getting ready to transition into some practical, but I just want to make sure that we're understanding the differences. Stewardship, really, the word is lost on us nowadays. It's more like a manager, meaning like if I own, what do we want to own this morning? I want to own a Chick-fil-A. All right? I like Chick-fil-A. It's closed on Sunday. We can't eat there today. But if we did have a Chick-fil-A, it'd be good to have the Lord's chicken available every other day of the week. But if I own that Chick-fil-A and I have some ideas that I want implemented, I don't have just employees, but I have levels of employees, and the manager is the one that's in charge. The manager is instructed to carry out my wishes as the owner. The manager takes some ownership in the thing because they manage it like it's theirs, but they don't own the establishment. And it would be a problem for me as the owner if I come in and the manager is just doing his own thing. He's ignored my instructions and decided to run it the way that he wants to run it because he thinks he knows better, right? That result is what? That manager is getting what? Fired, right? That manager is getting fired, and I'm looking for a new manager. That's stewardship, church. The Lord is the owner, and he has entrusted into us a certain amount of time, talent, and treasure that he really has this awesome desire to expand his kingdom with. He has deposited on the inside of you passions and desires and dreams and hopes and a certain level and ability to grow in the financial market and stuff that just really excites you to be involved in and causes you to want to do things with your life. And all he really wants is for you to understand that you're not the owner. You are the manager. And I'm the owner, and I've got this awesome plan, and what I really want you to do is implement my plan. And in order for you to implement the plan well, I've trusted you with a certain amount of days on the earth. I've trusted you to be born and raised up in a certain area so that you could get gifted at certain things, that you could have a mindset that causes you to think a certain way because of the way that you were educated. The things that you were exposed to, the good, the bad, and the indifferent have all went into your makeup of who you are, why you're passionate about this or that or the other. And if you're willing to risk it all and trust God to be who he says he is, that you can offer all of it back to him in service. Amen? But in order to do it well, we have to manage the things that he's trusted us with well. And then we have to apply ourselves to hear what he would say and to learn his ways and to learn his heart to the point that we trust him so that we understand when he's asking us to do something that feels costly. It's treasure. It's treasure that I have locked away and I really want to keep it, but that the Lord is urging me to do something and I have to have this relationship with the Lord that's strong enough to understand that if the Lord is asking for it, he's going to do something awesome on the backside of it. If it costs me something now, it's going to be worth it when he grows what he's going to grow in the kingdom because of it. And if I can't do it, I've taken the seat of ownership. I've kicked him off the throne as the owner of everything. I've become the owner. I wouldn't say it, but my life demonstrates it. But if I will relegate myself to just being the manager, then we can work together. I can hear the instructions of the owner, and we can grow the thing, and I can participate. I might even receive some awards and accolades as being the manager of the year, as I've done the things that the owner has asked me to do, even when it's cost me something. But he's grown the whole establishment or the kingdom of God because we were willing to just steward what we had. The little bit of gifts that we feel like we may or may not have even. Asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that you've trusted me with? How can I effectively manage it so that it grows to the point that it can be offered back to you in a gift that can result in other people giving thanks to God? Amen? Thank you, Lord. Let's get to the rest of the scripture and we'll close this thing out. Anybody ready to land this plane? Thank you, Lord. He's so good. Oh, let me give you some practical steps before we read the last scripture. Practical steps is just reviewing what you have as it pertains to your time, your talent, and your treasure, and ask God audacious questions. Like, Lord, am I stewarding well? Am I doing this well, Lord? Ask God, where do you want me to sow? Where should I invest my time? Lord, this talent that I have that nobody even knows about, how do you want me to use it? Why did you give it to me? Not just to bring me pleasure, but how am I supposed to sow it in order to enhance the kingdom? And then the rest is just waiting to hear what he would say. Ask the right questions, wait for his instructions, and then do your best to obey. Give yourself grace if it's new for you, but try. Give effort to hear from the Lord and obey. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. It becomes a lifestyle, and you'll find yourself doing better. Amen? When you put these things into practice, absolutely incredible things begin to happen in the kingdom of God. Let's read the rest of the verses, and then I just want to remind you some of the things you've done and pray a prayer over you and invite people to pray, and that's the way we're going to end. Picking back up where we left off in verse 12. This is so encouraging to me. I love it, and I hope you love it too. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. We've already hit on that really as we've talked through this sermon. Verse 13 says, because of the service which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful, but it basically is saying this: because of the action of you doing this kind of work, people are going to give thanks because your talk matches your action. It says that there's this generosity that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not just saying you're a Christian, but you're demonstrating it by the work that you do, by your willingness to be a good steward and generous and all of these things. It's incredible. And for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. Verse 14 says, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. I think Paul was overwhelmed when he wrote this. I think because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit while he's penning this work, that he's overcome at this point right now. And this is how he ends it in verse 15. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Right? He's just writing. You remember that he's writing to the church in Achaia. And he's saying, man, I got some incredible news. I've been telling everybody what you said you were going to do, and they're doing it too. And there's this incredible chain reaction that's happening across everywhere that I travel because of your story. And my willingness to tell your story, people are hearing it and they're being inspired by it and they're joining in and we're all working together and the kingdom of God is growing and it's unlike anything that I ever imagined and it's incredible to even be a part of it. And he just starts to encourage this church and says, man, if you'll just give what you've already made up your mind to give, this is what God's going to do. He's going to increase everything that you touch so that you, at all times, in every occasion, you'll have the opportunity to participate, not just in some good works, but in every good work. And not only that, it sounds like an infomercial off of TV, that wait, there's more. And not only will you be able to participate in every good work, but other people are hearing about it. And they're starting to give praise to God on your behalf because they believe that your confession of faith is also accompanying your willingness to participate in kingdom work. And they're so inspired by it. They're giving glory to God. They're also participating. And then Paul goes all the way down to the end and he says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. And that's how he ends it. It's absolutely incredible that the Lord himself has deposited on the inside of us the faith to be able to hear. When we hear the gospel message, something goes in the ear, into the heart, and faith is activated. And we go from sinner to saint, to understanding what it means to follow Jesus. And it begins to spill over, not just with religious talk, but into every arena of our life. And we begin to understand the grace of God has been with us from day one. Even while we were struggling in our fears, even while we're struggling in our sin, but he's led us down roads and it's caused us to be who we are. And he's such a good redeemer and a restorer and a rebuilder of broken down things that he can take us in our broken state and he can put his life on the inside of us and he can cause us to come into partnership with him and his kingdom, not because he needs us, but because he loves us. And he gives us the opportunity to participate with him. And when we do, other people are inspired, and they also begin to get saved. They also begin to come to know this same grace that we've experienced because it's more than just talk with us. Our lives demonstrate that we believe this thing. We've been brought into a new way of thinking, a new way of living. And when we live like that, it produces thanks in a Reverend Patrick Chewe that now has a beautiful blocked-in church next to that bar where it was nothing. You were there on that hot day. We were all sunburned. We worked hard, preaching at 5 different churches, building a church and doing a youth crusade and finishing a church and doing a youth crusade and traveling all over the country. But because of the willingness of this people to send you and your team, that church, every time they gather, they might not even know your name. They know your name, but they don't know everybody's name. But they're still, every time that they're gathering in there and looking around and being amazed at what God's done, they're giving thanks to God. And it's because of your faith that accompanied, your willingness to give has accompanied your confession of faith, and it's resulted in thanks to God in Kitwe, Zambia, and 41 other congregations around the nation because you believe in this first fruits thing. and because you've taken your gifts and your talents and you've made a living with them. But as the Lord has blessed you to be able to pay your bills and have a place to live and all that, there's a little something left over that you can invest into the kingdom. And it all adds up together because we're all working together as the body of Christ. And when we give it together and the Lord takes it and does what he does with it and multiplies it, it turns into this incredible thing, this gift that accompanies our confession of faith. Paul says this indescribable gift. But the thing that we know is he has just told us that when they give thanks to God in their prayers, they're giving thanks to God in their prayers for you, church family, because you made something happen for someone that couldn't make it happen for themselves. And that's what it is to be a part of the kingdom of God, to trust God with every arena of our life. God, all of my time, it's yours. Help me to spend it wisely so I don't waste it frivolously. Lord, any talent that I have, maybe I don't even know what they are because I've been too lazy to discover them. Help me, Lord, to discover what it is that you've buried on the inside of me that can enhance the kingdom of God. The treasures, the things that I love so much that I really wouldn't want to give them up. Help me to get over that hurdle, Lord, of being able to trust you with everything that I am so that you can unlock the opportunities for me to participate in every good work, have all that I need on every occasion. Amen. That's an incredible way to live life. And you've been invited into it. And it really is just about lordship. So on behalf of Patrick Chewe, on behalf of our superintendent, Lapenga Banda, on behalf of the countless other pastors and churches in areas all over the country of Zambia, on behalf of our work in Ethiopia and Kenya and other places that we've been able to travel, on behalf of everything that Africa Tabernacle Evangelism is going to get into over the next few years before the Lord's return, if he waits that long, and we're just going to work diligently and as hard as we can before he comes back, even though he could come back before I finish this sermon, amen? But we're going to work hard as if he's never coming, but believing that he's coming any minute. And you're a part of it. And you can be a more a part of it as you give yourself to the Lord. Amen? So I just want you to never forget this. Your participation in the kingdom is about stewardship, yes. Managing what you've been given well. It's about keeping an open heart towards generosity, absolutely. An open heart and an open hand to help and partner. But ultimately, it comes down to obedience, how to distinguish. When am I supposed to grow? When am I supposed to sow? It's God's business. Our business is to hear and obey. Amen? But you got to start by giving yourself fully to the Lord. This morning, we should pray together and say, Lord, I want you to touch me in a deep way this morning so that I understand that everything belongs to you. Lord, I want to take that. I want to take myself off of the throne and become the manager of the things that you say I'm supposed to manage well. Amen. This morning you may be in the room and this is a message that's different than you've ever heard, potentially, about life application and living in the kingdom of God. And you might realize this morning that you've said sinner's prayer. You've asked the Lord to forgive you plenty of times. Thank God we need forgiveness. Amen. But man, when it really comes down to serving the Lord, it goes beyond just asking forgiveness. It actually confesses him as the Lord, him as the owner and us as the manager at best. We're never the owner. We're never the Lord of our own lives. He's Lord. We're followers. So this morning you may be getting convicted by the Holy Spirit, which is a beautiful thing. Thank God for conviction that you need to take yourself off of the owner seat and say, Lord, I really haven't been following you because I don't consult you on any decisions in life. I ask you to forgive me when I do bad stuff, but I don't really serve you. But you want to. You want to say, time, talent, treasure, Lord, anything else, it's all yours. I want to trust you like that man was talking about. If that's you this morning, there's no reason for us this morning to feel compelled to close our eyes or anything, but you can just say, I really need to re-examine whether I'm serving the Lord with all my heart, and I want to do it like that. If that's you, just lift your hand this morning. I'm with you. I'm preaching it, but I know that I need work.
in that area. It's so easy to shift off of back and forth between manager and owner, isn't it? Especially when the Lord asks something heavy of us. But this morning we want to serve him as he is, as Lord. So just another quick minute. I know I saw some hands go up. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And even this morning, I know Pastor Joe's going to come back up and close this out by saying nice things about us and doing an offering and stuff. But man, the most important thing is that we're just in the right space with God, isn't it? So please hear this from our heart. We love you guys and we appreciate you. We know that it's hard to say no to missionaries. A pastor wants to say yes to every missionary that calls. But we also know how hard it is to raise a budget because you can't. You just can't. There's so many missionaries. It takes so much funds, and you just can't say yes to everything. But pray for your pastor and the board, and pray for yourselves that we would somehow increase our ability to be able to say yes and do more. You know, you can't do what you can't do. But if the Lord's moving on you this morning and giving you these creative ideas of how you could do something cool for the kingdom, go with it. Don't be fearful. It's the Lord is the one that's creative. And if he's given you creative ways of thinking, run with it and say, Lord, help me as I run with this. Amen. Let's pray for those that have raised their hand and said they really wanted to put the Lord in proper place of lordship this morning. So let's pray like this. You can all pray with me if you'd like. Lord Jesus, I'm really convicted by the message this morning. And I just ask you to help me to surrender my life to you. I believe who you are, and I ask you to help me to believe it deeper. I want to come off of the throne of my life and attempt to trust you. I need your help. Holy Spirit, help me to serve God properly. Be my Lord. Forgive my sins. Wash me clean and lead my life. Now let's transition our prayer and say, Lord Jesus, the time, the talent, and the treasure that you've trusted me with, help me to give it back to you. In service, give me a generous heart, give me a stewardship mind, and Lord, give me an ear for hearing your instructions and a heart that will be courageous to obey you. Help us, Lord, to hear, trust, and obey you, and to participate in your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
We could get the ushers to come. I know that we're sowing in fertile ground. So we're going to sow into this ministry. Lord, we just pray for Tony and Carrie, God. I pray that you just continue to open doors in Africa and help them to continue the work that you've called them to do. Lord, I just pray that today that we help them along the way through finances, God. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you as you give. Chelsea, if you can come up here. So you guys know what today is, and so I'm excited that we had Tony and Carrie here, and I'm going to ask them to come back up here, because we have something for you. So something that we started a few years ago, and it's just something that's kind of grown, is during December we have a missionary come, and we bless you guys. So Cole's not here, so I'm really bummed. But we've got some gifts for you guys. So I'm going to have to let Chelsea give you, because I don't know what's what. Probably has your name on it, but we just wanted to bless you. So we did some recon and called some people, and your people are not very helpful. I just want you to know. So,
only helpful one.
Yeah, which is not the one that I expected to be helpful.
Yeah, I called her.
So start passing her. So yeah, you can open. Start opening them. Yeah, this is what it's for. Start opening it. So we hope you guys enjoy it. We love you guys. We want to bless you. You can stay and watch. You can go if you need to go. We understand. Get by and tell them how much you appreciate them. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock.